learned to preach. I became a preacher. It's just not a secret to you that I failed public speaking when I was a senior in high school. And I felt of all the things that I'd never do, I'd never make my life being a speaker of any kind. I make my living being a speaker of any kind. When God called me to preach, I was the most surprised person in the world. And I decided that if I was going to be a preacher, I had to get ready. So I'd get out in the woods at night, out the edge of town, in the woods, and I'd preach. Now, I mean, nobody. Nobody hearing me, but the owls and the coyotes and the armadillos down in Texas. I'd just get out in the woods and preach. I'd imagine that there's a great crowd of folks before me, and all you could hear was a cricket here and there, and maybe a bullfrog here and there, the croak of a frog. But I'd get out in the woods and preach. You say, why? Because I was learning how to ride. Now, God didn't give me a church in those days. I had learned how to ride before God gave me a horse. And so I'd practice and practice. I'd get in front of the mirror. I'd practice preaching. I'd look at myself. I figured I was the biggest sinner I knew, so I'd preach to myself. And I'd try to get my gestures right. You know, I'd say, in the first place. And I'd try to get my gestures just right. Never came right. But I wanted to be a preacher more than anything else in all the world. I wanted to be a preacher. I enrolled in Texas University, the North Texas branch of Texas University in Arlington, Texas. And I told the dean of the college, I said, I'm going to be a preacher, and I'd like to take, if I could, 5 courses in speech and public speaking the first semester. So I took 3 courses in speech and 2 in public speaking, and I won't go into the repeating of the story. But after the first semester, the dean called me in, and he said, we on the speech and public speaking faculty have come to a conclusion about your being a preacher after having taught you 3 courses in speech and 2 in public speaking. And I said, what is the conclusion? He said, a plumber, maybe, an electrician, perhaps, a preacher, never. But I want to be a preacher. And so I set out to be a preacher. And I'd practice again and again. I'd get out some by myself, and I'd just preach. I was trying to learn to ride so God could give me a horse. You see, God has so many things that he wants to give you, and you have so many things that you want. But here's the reason why, by the way, God wants you to have things, and God wants you to be successful. God doesn't delight in somebody's failure. God doesn't delight in somebody's poverty. God doesn't delight in somebody's want. And there are things that you want, and there are things that God wants to give you. But the difference is this. You want to get the things and then deserve them, and God wants you to deserve them and then get them. You want to get the horses and then learn to ride. But God says, no, I'll not give you the horse until you learn to ride. And so the prophet said in this text, he said, I have 2,000 horses I'll give you if you have 2,000 riders that you can on which you can put on the horses. You see, you won't get the blessings of God first, but you've got to first learn how to ride. And once you learn how to ride, then God gives you the blessing. A lady came to me, and this is certainly an illustration of what I'm trying to say. Years ago, the lady came to me, and she said, Pastor, she said, we can't have any children. The doctor says, no hope at all. But she said, I want to be a mother more than anything in the world. My husband and I have prayed for children. We've longed for children. We want to have children. She said, Pastor, what would you pray for us? And I did pray. But she said, now what would you do if you were in our shoes? And I said to her, the first thing I'd do, I'd get every book on how to rear children I could get, and I'd read them. Every book. I'd learn how to be a mother if I were you. I'd get every book everybody's ever written on how to be a mother, how to rear children. I'd become an expert on rearing children. Well, she said, well, how? She said, the doctor says we can't have any children. Why should I become an expert? And I said, listen, you've become the right kind of potential, and God wants to put kids in good homes, and God wants to give children good mothers and good fathers. And I said, you just go ahead, and you learn how to be a mother. You get a book, Dr. Rice's book, and you get this book and that book, and you read, and you observe, and you counsel with every good mother you can. and you learn everything there is to know about being a good mother. And I said, then perhaps God will hear your prayer. And so she did. She set out to read book after book after book about being a good mother. And she had no hope of having the children. The doctor said it was impossible. And she and her husband had given up hope, but she was learning how to be a good mother. And so she read, and she read, and she studied, and she studied, and she counseled. And one day, miraculously, God allowed them to adopt the baby. Just out of heaven, God dropped the little baby. And now all the things that she's learned to do, all of a sudden she can put them in practice. Why? Because she was learning how to ride. And then God gave her the horse. She learned how to be a good mother. Then God gave her the baby. And funny thing about that, after she had her baby, then she had 7 more of her own after that. And let that be a lesson, Brother Dave. They adopted one, and now Paul is expecting quintuplets now. And now then, 8 children. Why? Because she learned how to be a mother. I'm constantly amazed at how many people, some of you folks getting married this summer, good night every Friday and Saturday all the way through. I've got weddings, and all summer long. And yet the young ladies in this room today who are going to get married this summer have not read that many books on marriage. A doctor goes to school for 10, 12 years, learn to be a doctor. A lawyer goes to school 7, 8 years, learn how to be a lawyer. A preacher goes to school 5, 6, 7 years to learn how to be a preacher. And yet, the most important job maybe of them all, that job of being a wife and a mother. And yet, we don't spend, I'd say 10 hours might be the most hours that are spent. You ought to read everything been printed on by good people on how to be a wife. And you ought to walk to that altar after having counsel with dozens of good wives and find out how they do it and make yourself prepared. I'm saying this. I'm saying God has a lot of horses God wants to give us, but God won't give horses to those who have not learned to ride. And so the man said, I've got 2,000 horses I'll give you if you can put 2,000 riders on those horses. But the sad true thing is that they did not have 2,000 riders, and so they did not get the horses because they did not have the 2,000 riders. Are you getting older? They're not married. And I talked to some young lady here who's, maybe you're already 18, haven't got engaged yet. And you're getting worried about it. And some of you, way up at 21 and 22 years of age, haven't had your first date yet. You ought to be worried about it. And here you are, getting up 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 28 years old. You're not married? The lady came to me. She said, Brother Hound, I'm 26 years old. I'd love to be a wife and a mother someday. She said, Brother Hound, what can I do? And I said, get ready to marry. Well, she said, I haven't got anybody to marry. I said, you get ready first, then you marry. God said, I'll give you 2,000 horses. You find 2,000 riders. Everybody wants the opportunity. Everybody wants the blessing. Everybody wants to get the gravy. But God says, I'm not going to give you a horse till you learn how to ride. And I said, this little mother, my little lady, I said, look, if you want to get married, I said, study about it. Get every book you can on marriage. And you study marriage. And you learn how to be a good wife. Well, she said, Brother House, I'm 26 years old. I'm not even going with anybody yet. And I said, I didn't say go with somebody. I said, get ready. Don't you believe God has some fine young man he'd like to give a good wife? Don't you think that somewhere God has some young man, maybe in some Christian college, preparing to be a preacher, he'd like to give that young man the kind of wife that he's going to need? Don't you think God has some young businessman somewhere who's dedicated to his cause, or some doctor, or some lawyer, or some hard-working factory worker he wants to give a good wife? I said, then you get ready. Oh, far too many of us are more concerned about getting a husband than getting ready to be a wife. We're too much concerned about getting a baby instead of getting ready to be a mother and ready to be a father. And I said to her, don't you worry about who you are. By the way, young ladies, you go ahead and take that first chance that comes along because you're afraid you may not get another one, not knowing that this is the will of God for your life. You'll wish 10,000 times you hadn't gone that way. What you better do, you better say, Listen, God knows where you are. Oh, you say, Brother Howes, I want to get where the boys are. Oh, I want to get where the boys are. Nothing wrong with that. When I was a boy, I wanted to get where the girls were. And nothing wrong with that. But I tell you one thing, you better not pick one out till God picks it out for you. Don't you be concerned about rushing it. You be concerned about getting ready. And if, listen, there is not a young lady in this room this morning. I don't care if you're 7 foot wide and 2.5 foot tall. God's got some fat soul for you somewhere in this world. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're bald-headed and 18, 25 years old and got a hair on your head, lady. God's got some billiard ball or bowling ball he wants to marry you to. God, listen, it isn't trying to find a husband. You settle down and say, I'm not going to look for a husband. I'm going to prepare myself to be a wife. And you prepare yourself and you study and you read and you pray and you counsel and you seek help and you watch those who are good wives. And you say, by the grace of God, I am going to prepare myself. God knows where you are, and God knows where the fella is who needs you. And if you'll be more concerned about learning how to ride than getting a horse, God will find when you have learned to ride that you've done so, and God will see to it that you have a horse or a husband. I'd rather have a horse myself. But I'm saying, or some young men, or you wanted to pastor someday, okay, then get ready. Don't worry about where. We have young men check into Hiles Anderson College, Doc Tibbins, and the first semester they come and say, where do you think I ought to pastor? Oh, forget it. Forget it! First semester at Hiles Anderson College, you sit there and you learn every bit of Bible you can. And you learn every bit of English grammar you can. And you learn every bit of speech and public speaking you can. And you learn all the history you can. And you say, by the grace of God, I don't know where I'm going to serve. I don't know where I'm going to pastor. But there's one thing I do know. When God gets ready, when God gets ready to need somebody, He's going to find in me somebody who's prepared. Learn how to ride, and God will give you a horse. But don't worry about getting the horse. Worry about learning how to ride. You and I left here Ray Hart sing, don't we? Ray Hart is Mr. Fundamentalist Soloist in America today. Would you like to know how Ray Hart got discovered? Ray Hart was an opera singer. He prepared for opera and was in the Metropolitan Opera. God called Ray Hart into full-time service, but nobody much knew him. He got a job for Jack Wirtson with the what's the name of the Jack Wirtson? Word of life. And by the way, years ago, when Jack Wirtson preached here, I guess it's been 16, 17 years ago. You don't know this, but Ray Hart came with him and sang way back yonder years ago. Ray Hart was a pudgy guy then, and he came with Jack Wirtson and sang for us when Jack was here years and years ago. Now, Ray Hart went from there to a little church down in Connersville, Indiana. And I was in Connersville preaching in that little church out the edge of town. And I said, by the way, I'd seen him one time before. I was up in Portland, Maine, preaching at for Jack Wirtson years ago at an area-wide meeting at the First Baptist Church, Portland, Maine. And I heard Ray Hart sing there. And then I was down here in Connersville. And Ray Hart was the music director, and he was a servant. My soul. Ray Hart unpacked all of my books. I had all my books there for sale. He unpacked all of my books. He worked at my book table. He sold all my books. He kept all of my... he sold all the books. And I dropped those things. It is if you're still listening here once in a while. And then when I got through, the books that were left over, he packed the books, he sent them back to Hammond, and I was so impressed with Ray Hart. Here's a servant's heart. This is no cocky musician. This is no know-it-all soloist. This is no prima donna. This is a sincere Christian man. And what a voice he had. And I said to Ray Hart, Ray, I said, why don't you come to sing at pastor school? Why, he said, what do you mean? He said, that big nationwide pastor school where all those preachers from all over the world come? I said, yeah. And Ray Hart said, would I? And so he came to pastor school and sang to America, and that's the story where Ray Hart was launched. Now, Ray Hart didn't say one day, I know what I want to do. I want to sing at pastor school. I want to be Mr. Fundamentalist Singer in America. No, sir. No, sir. He spent his youth with his stomach, with his hanging over his head, hanging off the bed. Practicing, ho, 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 ha, 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 he, ha, 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 and trying to, and holding his, stomach like this so it'd sing from the diaphragm. And not sing up here, but sing down here. And not talk like this, but talk like this. Ho, 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 ha, ha. He didn't say, I'll be a great singer. No, I'll learn how to sing. He didn't say, I'll be Mr. Fundamentalist Soloist. No, sir. He said, I'll learn how to sing. And when he got right on the tree, God knew he was tucked away in a little town called Connersville, Indiana, and God knew that Jack Hiles had a pastor school that influenced the whole nation, and God knew that Jack Hiles should go to Connersville and preach in a two-day meeting, and God had Ray Hart there to meet me, and God knew that Ray Hart would unpack my books and work at my book table and pack my books and ship them back and have a servant's heart, and God sent me to Connersville, Indiana to meet Ray Hart. And he had Ray Hart there. Why? Because Ray Hart was ready. That's why. We've got too many people who want to go to the top without being ready to go to the top. We've got too many folks that want to have an opportunity without being ready for the opportunity. And I'll say this again and again and again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who you are, you get ready. You spend your time learning how to ride the horse. God's got plenty of horses. You spend your time getting ready. Listen, what you are is more important than what you can do. For if you are what you ought to be, you will do what you ought to do. But if you're so much concerned, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? No, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. You say, what am I going to be? What am I going to be? Listen, the world is full of talented flops who knew so much and had so much talent, they didn't need to practice. And they didn't need to prepare. And many a horseman who rode gracefully but did not learn how to keep his foot in the stirrups properly or ride properly in the saddle, many a horseman has fallen off and become a casualty because he rode the horse before he learned how to ride. And he's more concerned about owning a horse than he was learning how to ride the horse. And so God sends this message today to every one of us, and God says, I've got a horse for you. I've got 2,000 horses for you. But you're going to have to give me 2,000 horsemen first. You know God has oodles and oodles of babies? So do we. You dear people that want to have children. We have dozens of folks in this room this morning that love to someday be moms and dads. And you folks that have little healthy children, you ought to jump up and down and clap your hands and say, glory to God, how good God is. But I want to say this to you this morning. I believe a great act of faith is for you to learn to prepare and learn to be a good mother. And if you will go ahead and like you're going to have a baby. Oh, when Linda and Cindy were expecting their babies, they read every book. Way to be a good baby is read all the books on how to be a good mother, and then when the baby is born, keep the books and spank the babies with the books after they're born. And and they're expecting. And I remember when Cindy first learned to have a baby, she started reading books, and she wanted my book on how to learn. And then she read more, 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 and then she read more. And but you say, Brother Hiles, I'm not expecting a baby. Okay, then read anyway. Hey, Dr. Evans, I'd do this. If I were a lady wanting a baby and couldn't have one, I'd buy me a crib. I'd fix the layette. I'd buy the baby a wardrobe. I'd prepare a little room for the nursery. I'd buy instead of bassinets. I'd buy a bassinet. I'd buy me one of these diaper bags. I just love to see these guys carrying these diaper bags. Oh, old Dave Hiles, the suave Dave Hiles. You know, that's right. That's right. All of our grandkids, old Dave would see him. He never was a Gucci guru, you know. He'd say, hi, kid. Here's an old nephew or niece. 6 months old. Dave said, hi, kid. Hi, kid. Yeah, boy. Old Dave Hiles. The other day I saw him with a diaper across his shoulder and a diaper bag in his hand. Yeah. Yes, sir. And by the way, that's the way it ought to be, too. If I were you, I'd get me a diaper bag. I'd buy me about 400 diapers. I don't know how many you use. As far as I'm concerned, we ought to have 2 diapers, one to be washing and one to be using. But I'd buy 400 diapers. I'd get me a nursery. And I'd say, put a little sign on the door, say, nursery. I'd get me a baby bed. I'd get every book I could, and I'd read and read and study and study. But you say, but the house, what is that? I'd call it faith, is what I'd call it. And then when I got to the place where I felt like that I could be a good mother, I'd go in that little nursery and I'd say, Lord, here it is. You know I'm trying to learn. And I'm ready. Now, Lord, what you say with the house? What if my husband's unable to have a baby? Now, talk to Abraham about that when you get to heaven. Dial up now and talk to him. But you say with the house, God says that my womb is closed. There's no way I can have a baby. Have a little talk with Sarah. Now, let us have a little talk with Sarah. Have a talk with Sarah. Yeah. Talk to Sarah about that. Yeah. Talk to Elizabeth about that. Elizabeth's husband was surprised. He learned his wife was pregnant. He doubted it, and God made it. Didn't even speak all the time that she was pregnant. Abraham learned the baby's going to come. He's so shocked. He laughed and laughed, and Sarah laughed. 90 years old, and Abraham's 100. Yeah. The house, isn't that presumption? I'll tell you what. I had to be presumptuous in an effort to have faith and take a chance having no faith. And I'd get on my knees beside that empty bed, and I'd say, now, dear God, here's the bed. Remember that story over in the Old Testament? When the little lady had no provisions, and God said, get me a container, and we'll fill it up for you with oil. And she got a container, and all her containers were filled, and she got the neighbor's containers, and they were filled. Remember the story of the New Testament about when Jesus said, he said, now let down your net. They didn't let down their net. They let one net. And the one that they had broke because God had so much for them. Did you know God has some wonderful things for you if you'll get ready for it? God has some great things for you. May I say this, and I don't mean to be unkind. I'm talking so much this morning about prospective parents. It's an illustration about every other area of life. But don't you spend as much time trying to get a baby as you do trying to prepare, get ready for one. Don't spend much time trying to get a church as to get ready for one. And that thing in life that you want and you feel like God would have you to have. Don't you worry about getting it. Did you know, I got some news for you. Brother Colston, you know that God knows you live on Euclid Avenue in Munster? Did you know that? Did you know that God knows your address? I don't. What is your address? 8149. Did you know God knows your phone number is 836-1528? Is that right? Uh-huh. And did you know that God knows you can't ever get your line because your wife's always on it? Did you know that? Now, do you think that every day that you've got to go to God and say, God, don't forget where I live. Hey, Lord, don't forget me now. I need some food now. In case you want to know where to deliver that food, it's, what is it? 8149 Euclid, God. Now, have your angel write that down. 8149 Euclid. God knows where you live. And God knows whether or not you've learned how to ride a horse. All you've got to do is say, with the grace of God, I'll learn to ride the horse. I'll learn to do the job. I'll learn to be what I ought to be. God in heaven knows where you live, and God knows if you're ready or not. If I wanted to have a nice house, if I were a young lady, young man, wanting to have a nice house, what I'd do? I'd take a little apartment I got, and I'd make it the prettiest apartment in the world. But you say, well, the house, we can't afford the furniture. I'm not talking about that. I was up in Michigan, in Bellevue, Michigan, where John Baptist and pastors, and I visited the home of K. O'Brien Lomax. Brad Lomax. They have a little house that's attached. He's an assistant pastor there, and they have a little house that's attached to the church. That little old gal has taken, when I was there, she had taken a bunch of secondhand stuff. And one thing she'd done, she'd gotten, as I understand it, she'd gotten the lining out of a coat. Any of you fellows have loud lining in your coats this morning? You've seen those coats have loud lining? Lively? Have you got a loud lining inside your coat? No. So, anyway, but she'd taken, and so what'd she do? She'd take that and she'd put it around a little old table that she got from the secondhand store. Then she'd take a piece of that and put it around the mirror over that table. And do you know, the old place was a dollhouse. Why, I'm sure it wouldn't sell for $25, the house, but or so. But she had taken that thing, and it was just gorgeous. She didn't wait till she could get a $1,000 sofa. No, sir. You know, people can take nail kegs and cover them and look like beautiful tables. If I wanted to have someday a lovely home, I'd take the home that I have now. And I'd make it as attractive as I could. I'd make it as cheerful as I could. And I'd say, Lord, I know how to take care of a house. Now, I want to work at it. Now, Lord, whenever I get to the place to where you think I can take care of one better, you know where I am. I bet you God knows where you are. And I bet you he that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills might own a few houses, too. Yeah, I bet he could. Oh, you say you get married and you say, oh, I want that pretty house. No, you want to be a good housekeeper. That's what you want to be. You learn to ride the horse. God has the horses. Look, folks, I'm 54 years of age. I've never, in all these years, I've never asked anybody for a place to preach. Oh, I did ask one time the birds in the field that listened to me, and the coyotes and the foxes, but I've never asked for a place to preach. I've never applied for a church. Never. When this church wrote me and sent me an application, I wrote back and I said, I don't believe in applying for churches. I think you ought to pray God's man and get God's answer from God. And I've never asked anybody for a church. I've never been, I've never gone to a church where I wanted to go. I'll tell you what I've done. I've tried to get ready. I've tried to prepare. And Brother Ray, I'm as sure as I am that I'm standing here, God has something bigger for me and for this church in the future, even than we have now. I'm sure that the greatest days this church has ever had are before us. So what are you doing about it? Are you trying to figure out what you're supposed to do? No, sir. I'm trying to get myself ready for it. I find myself, Dr. Evans, I find myself at 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, leaving the motel room and going out in the woods or out, maybe out, in the, out on the street somewhere and walking up and down the street and saying, oh, God, make me what I need to be. I'm not able to handle all we got now, but make me what I need to be. I want to be able to ride when God shows me a horse. I want to be ready when God has the place open. I'm not concerned about the place. When I was in college, I never thought I'd pastor a big church. I thought probably I'd never pastor a church that could give me a full-time salary. So, I majored in Bible and minored in history and took another major in secondary education so I could teach high school. I knew I never could pastor a church, so I thought, a full-time church, so I thought the church can't pay me a full-time salary, so I'll learn how to teach school. That beats having to work for a living. And I had rather preach or teach than work any day. I worked a half a day in 1938. I didn't like it. And so I decided that I'd take second education. And that way I thought, since I'll never be able to pastor a big enough church to pay me a full-time salary. By the way, it worked out that way. But anyway, just kidding. But anyway, I thought at least I can teach in a school. Didn't have any Christian schools in those days. Didn't have any, no fundamental church out of school. I'll teach in public school during the week and preach on Sunday. I was trying to get ready. Now listen to me for a minute. That thing you want, don't try to get it. Get ready for it. God knows where it is and God knows where you are. I wish I could tell you tonight, today, how God has given the things that we needed when we got ready for them. God wants to save this nation. God won't save this nation by us trying to finagle how to save it. God's going to save this nation when His people get ready to be saved and prepare to be saved. And God has some wonderful things for you, but God will not let you have them until you are prepared to receive them. Young folks, listen, I'm through. That's why a lot of young folks are going to end up in divorce court. 17 years old. Now, I want to say this. I do not believe that a 17-year-old girl alive that I'll be talking about marriage. Listen again. I'll say it again. I do not believe that a 17-year-old girl alive that ought to be talking about marriage. You say, well, I didn't like that. Okay, I'll say it again. Make you real mad. I do not believe there's a 17-year-old girl alive that ought to be talking about getting married. Oh, yes, sir, Brother Howell, when you were young, you all used to marry at 16, 17, 18, 19. I know that. We could also buy a house for $4,000. Buy a loaf of bread for a nickel. And I'm not sure we should have done it back in those days. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, I want to get married. I want to get married. I want to get married. No, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. What you want to say? I want to get ready to be a good wife. I want to get ready to be a good wife. I want to get ready to be a good wife. God in His, and don't you rush down the altar the first fellow has a pair of pants. Or don't you guys rush down the altar for the first gal that has a pair of pants either. No. You be concerned about getting ready to be what you ought to be. And then one day God will let him cross your path. Yeah. Sitting on my front that morning is Larry and Levon. Levon, when she was Levon Canavan, I've told the story many times, Levon was crippled. Still is crippled. But she's one of the prettiest girls in this church. Ladies now. Levon was as good a friend as Becky ever had, her oldest daughter Becky. Levon spent more nights at our house than anybody outside the family. Levon belongs to the IHSTPIHU club. She is the only person in this room that belongs to that club. IHTPIHU. That's the I've seen the preacher in IHP. That's the I've seen the preacher in his pajamas club. I rushed out in the hallway one day. Didn't know we had company. There was Levon. Spent the night with Becky. There I was in my pajamas, and I am a gorgeous sight in my pajamas. Both of my hairs messed up. I remember that day Levon came to my office for a senior appointment, and she said, Preacher, what do you think I'll do? And I said, Levon, go to college. And she said, Preacher, I don't want to go to college. But I said, Levon, you're crippled. And I said, crippled girls either are on society or welfare, or they have to prepare themselves for some profession usually. I said, Levon, prepare yourself. She went off to Bob Jones University. She didn't want to finish. She came back to the office one day and said, Brother Howell, I don't want to finish. I got mad at her. And I said, stay in school! And it woke her up, too. And I said, stay in school! And so she said, Brother Howell, you're mad. I said, I know I'm mad. I said, Levon, you listen to me. I said, if you quit school now and don't prepare yourself for a profession, I said, one of these days you're going to be at the mercy of society. You'll be, and when you get to be an old lady, you live in a home somewhere, nobody to care for you. I said, Levon, you prepare yourself. But I don't want. I said, do it anyhow. With tears in her eyes, she said she would. Went back to school. Trained to be a school teacher. Taught school in Pensacola, Levon, for a while. And now she's one of the most valuable school teachers we have on our grade school faculty here. And God gave her a fine young man. But he wouldn't marry her, so God gave her Larry. And now one of the happiest married couples in this church, little cripple Levon. I wonder why. She's happy. She's happy because she prepared. God said, if you learn how to ride, I'll give you a horse. Now, wait a minute. They came to the office of the day, and I think I'll go ahead and say it. They want to have a baby. They're praying for God to give them a baby. I'm not preaching this sermon to them this morning, but I'm using this as an illustration. I dare you to try what I said this morning. I'd rather have a little nursery room that's never used than believe in God. And make folks think, I'd rather be when you're 80 years old showing off that nursery waiting for the baby to come. You got 10 more years before your old Sarah was. Let me tell you something, folks.
Up there in the sky, there's a throne. And on that throne, there's a God. And that God has so many things He wants to give you. And that God has so many things He wants to let you do for Him.
I can hear old Dr. Rice now.
Dr. Rice said, I dreamed I went to heaven. And I went up there and I saw a room full of packages, beautiful gift wrap packages. And he said, I asked the Lord, what are all those? And the Lord said with a tear in his eye, those are things I had for my children but never asked for, never called for. I'm not sure God has a room there. I'm sure John Rice is there. But I've got a sneaking suspicion that God has so much He wants to give you. And God has so much He wants to do with you. Young people, listen to me. Don't rush off into some wild decision before it's time. Don't reach out yonder and get what it's not time to get yet. This is not the getting time. This is the getting ready time. That's what this is. And you just keep on learning how to ride a horse. But she said, the house. I don't have a horse. Get you a stick horse. Go down to that five and dime store and put a quarter in the thing down there. Go out to the amusement park and ride the merry-go-round. And you learn. And you learn. And you learn and prepare yourself for that God has for you. And you mark it down and I'm through. One day that throne on which God sits will be vacant. For our great God in heaven will stand off His throne and walk over toward where you live and dispatch angels your way. And God will say, He's ready now. She's ready now. Gabriel, let them have it. They're prepared now. Let them have it. Is there anything this morning you want more than you want life? Is there anything this morning you want to do or be more than to do or be anything in the whole world? Don't try to do it. And don't try to be it. Just get prepared for it. God will give you the horses as soon as you learn how to ride.